Y'all ready?
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Bishop Daniel Harley, the resident pastor of Christ Our Hope Cathedral, Peter Mansfield, and overseer of the KZN Council of Churches. Bishop Daniel Harley is a son of Bishop Dag Heward Mills, the founder and bishop of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. Bishop Daniel Harley has a strong passion for missions and evangelism and has preached the gospel over many years. Join us now for a life-changing experience.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word that cannot be broken. Fashion our lives after your word in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Please sit down for a moment or two. All right. Hello, everybody. Okay. We want to continue our discussion from the art of ministry. Is that not so? Yeah. And I said the art of ministry is the art of life. All right? The same skills you need to do well in the ministry are the same skills you need to do well in life. Many people miss the fact. You see somebody doing business, and then maybe as a pastor, when you want to talk to them, they say, oh, what does pastor know about business? Yeah, I'm an engineer. What does pastor know about engineer? All these things are part of life. And God's way of doing well is still the way of doing well in every endeavor. Yeah. If life requires faithfulness, being a scientist will require faithfulness. If ministry requires diligence, being a scientist or being an engineer or being an insurance broker, a computer scientist, whichever field you are in, it will require diligence. So it's the same skills that you need for every field. That's why we have the conference even in this church called LabLam, which is learn about business by learning about ministry. Amen. Amen. And if there's any place to learn about business from, is this ministry. Because not many businesses are able to start and go all over the world. Do you see? All over the world. Do you know we are in more countries than MTN? No, you would think because of the narrowness of the scope with which you are viewing, that MTN is big. And MTN is big. But if I tell you that we are in more countries than MTN, you have never imagined it before. I mean, go to France and see if you see yellow and blue. They will tell you everywhere you go, but it's not everywhere you go. Do you get it? So when we talk about successful businesses, to put it in layman's terms, this church is one of them. Amen. So learn to add value to whatever you are doing by learning the truths that have been documented in this book, The Art of Ministry. Amen. And from the book, I'm sharing how to add value to your life. Amen. Let's read a scripture. I think a scripture that caught my eye. Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. I'm looking for verse number 6. I was reading the beginning of the verses. They were interesting. Go back a bit. Go back a bit. It says, the words of the king Lemuel, the prophecy of his mother. His mother taught him. Okay, good. Verse 2. What, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows. Verse 3. He says, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways unto that which destroyeth. immediately we can even go home. I mean, this is so good advice that we can go home. It says, don't give your strength, young man, don't give your strength, your time, your days to women. Nor to the ways, nor thy ways, to that which destroys kings. He says, don't give your ways to things that destroys important people, kings. Now look at the next verse, it will surprise you. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine. So wine is one of the things that destroys important people. Nor for princes, strong drink. Then verse 5, look at who he says you should give drink to. Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Verse 6. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish. Give strong drink to somebody who is already going to be destroyed. Or wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Verse 7. No, we are just reading the Bible. I said, anybody who says that the Bible is not interesting is either the person has not read the Bible or cannot read. Or you cannot read. If you cannot read, I can understand why you say the Bible is not interesting. Or you have not read it. But if you read it, you'll be surprised at the things you see. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Verse 8. Open thy mouth for the damp in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Verse 9. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. Verse 10. This is the verse we are looking for. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Hallelujah. Amen. So here he's saying that a good woman, a virtuous woman, who can find? Why? Because she has a high price, which is above rubies. Amen. Amen. We are talking about, say, her value is above rubies. Her value is very high. So he says, there's a type of woman who has a high value. And that's not a slay queen. No, it's not any type of woman. Not a woman with long hair. Not a yellow bone. No, it says, a virtue. So virtue makes a woman valuable. So ask the nearest lady by you, what virtue do you have? You will also ask. So you have disrespect as part of your qualities. Yeah. He said her price is high. She has a high price. What type of woman is that? A virtuous woman. When you read after this, he shows you the qualities of the virtuous woman. So if you are here, you are a lady, you want to make yourself valuable. Read this thing and see what this woman does. It will increase your value. Amen. Bible says she brings her goods from afar. She's hard. She gets her loins with strength. She's hard work. I don't know who told you. I don't know why your grandmother told you that being a soft girl makes you valuable. A lazy girl is not valuable. Amen. Yeah, it's not valuable. Some of you, we can't marry you and take you to our parents' house, because when you go there, all you know is microwave and washing machine. I don't like my sound at all. I feel loud. I feel very loud. I feel like I'm shouting even when I've not shouted. Yeah. But anyway, back to what I'm saying. Back to the message. So we looked at various things that makes a person valuable. What are some of them? When you can be sent. Your value increases when you can be sent. We said what? Your value increases when you can bring projects to an end, successful end. Number three, we said your value increases when you do things with speed, when you do things quickly. Number four, you saw there was somebody who lost their blessing because he was too slow in making the food. You remember? Yeah, a wife who takes forever to make food loses value. Yeah. Number four, we say your value can increase. Your value increases when you can solve many problems. There are some of us, we can only do one thing. The only thing you can do is to preach. After preaching, you are good for nothing. If we have a pipe outburst in the church, we can't call you. Even to come and clean, like the water is gushing out, so come and dry, we can't call you. You can't do it. Or you have even positioned yourself that you cannot be called. Yeah. If we have a church, I mean, there are small things we do in the church that church members should be able to do. But you know, recently I had my air conditioner downstairs, the cage sometimes. I was sitting, so I was thinking, how are we going to solve this? Then I heard the church members say, I'll come and fix it. I said, yes, immediately. If you are at level two, you move to level three. It's not only singing. Some of you can only sing. I mean, there are some of you who sing. I've never seen you at a prayer meeting before. I won't say it again. Let me continue on my life. Number four is what? Your value increases when you are part of a foundation. Your value increases when you are good company. Yeah, when you are good company, you are a good person to be with. We can be with you. You have a cheerful look. You have an intelligent look. You have a pleasant look. We can make conversation with you. Not that when we are with you, the spirit of death and damp has to hit everybody. I mean, you have nothing to say. You are just sitting there. Boom. If we have visitors and we need people to come and entertain, not even entertain, but keep them company, we can't call you. Because if we call you, you have nothing to say. You will make no comment. Yeah, you are just there. Some of you say you are star-stricken. Is that not what they say? Yeah, stars. You have been star-struck, star-stricken. Yeah. Star-stricken. Look, one day we had a visitor from Switzerland. And we took the visitor for, what did we take the visitor for? Lunch, dinner, something like that. I took him with my pastors. We said, oh, let's just go and fellowship with him for some 2 hours. Come and see my pastors talking. I mean, we fellowship at the place. Then they said they are closing. First, they came to tell us that the kitchen was closed. Or they are closing the kitchen. We said, oh, we don't need the kitchen for anything. We are okay. Well, then when they came to tell us, okay, you know something, the whole place, we are closing. We are closing. So we said, okay, then let's go to the car park. But when we came to, there was a reason why we couldn't be at the car park. We came to the car park, then we decided, let's come to the church. We're here at church when load shedding came to meet us. We were in the load shedding. When load shedding, the power came back. And we were still fellowshipping. We were fellowshipping now. Then we had the second set of load shedding. You see, it's like, you can't understand. It's like they turn off the light. Do you see? Then we sat in the 2 hours. You know when the light goes, it's for 2 hours. So we sat in the 2 hours fellowshipping. Then the power came back. Then we continued the fellowship. Do you see? Then it was our turn again for load shedding. I think we're at stage 4 or something. Then they turn off the power again. I mean, the next one. Yeah, we're just fellowshipping. But imagine you are with some boring people. I mean, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, what's your name? How many children do you have? Who's your husband? Who's your husband? Uh-huh. How long have you been married? Okay, what work do you do? What's your plan for them? After you've asked about 3-4 questions, it's finished. It's finished. But they were flowing. I was sitting there, I was so happy. Meanwhile, those same pastors, I've been with them before. We have come far, my friend. Look, my guy, we've come really far. I used to be with them when we get visitors, they'll be sitting there watching the visitor like television. like, I've brought you here so that you talk, so that you get to know the person. The person gets to know you. They are just there. So I have to ask this question. Then the person will be talking. When it dries up, I'm hoping that one of them will take a cue from it and say, oh, then the place is quiet again. Then now you can see that the visitor is getting tired. Because as for me, he knows me already. He's not coming to me. He's come here because he knows me. Many of you, if you are with big men, you don't say anything. But your value keeps... And I don't know who has told you that, oh, let's be modest by keeping quiet. The silence is golden. Look, we don't need that gold. We don't need that gold. Talk. Talk. We also said your value increases when you can keep a secret. When you can keep a secret. It's like when things are said to you, you can keep it. It's not like everything you see, you have to say it to the whole world. This is the reason why cats live longer than dogs. Have you ever seen armed robbers come to a house that they've killed a cat before? Never. The dog. Look, the cat is standing on top of the building. You can see the armed robbers from far away. He won't say anything. Quiet. The dog. Whoa, 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 whoa. Then they end up poisoning the dog. Yeah, it's like you talk too much. And there are some of us, the slightest thing we see, we want everybody to know that we have seen it. Now, when you have that, you become like what we call a blabber mouth. So when you have that, people don't want to bring you into important places. Because whatever you are going to see, you are going to tell the whole world. And sometimes it's not like we are hiding it from the world. But we don't want to tell the world. Do you get it? It's not, some of the things, that's why in some companies you sign an NDA and all those confidentiality agreement, all this, so that you don't leave there and go and start talking. But sometimes even the thing is not a secret. But you can't just go around and be saying it. You just can't go and start saying, you know, the other day when I went to my boss's office, he was asleep at lunchtime. Next time, he will lock the door. Yeah, because if you knock, you will wake up. So you will not come and find him asleep. Because by the time you've told everybody, hey, the other day when we were going, the way he was eating chicken, he really likes chicken, you know. And he eats the chicken, he will eat the meat, eat the bones. I mean, the whole chicken will disappear. I mean, when you want to know how to eat chicken, call him. He cannot eat chicken with fork and knife. He has to grind the bone like a West African. Yeah. Next time they will invite you. You go to one person, went to a pastor's house, he saw a satellite dish. DSTV dish, 200 rands dish. He said, ah, I went to the pastor's house, I saw gadgets. Tell your neighbor, I saw gadgets. Satellite dish. I saw gadgets. Hey! Gadgets. When did I finish school? Over 20 years ago. I've been working as a missionary 20 years plus. Why shouldn't I be able to afford a satellite DSTV? Even compact. Even if I'm using premium. Why shouldn't I have, I mean, after 20 years. After 20 years of working. It's not like I started working yesterday. 20 years ago. Why shouldn't I be able to afford? I saw gadgets. The pastor's TV is as big as a house. Oh! Because of that, you will never be invited to the pastor's house. Stay, because you can't keep your mouth shut. We had church members like that. Look, any gossip you hear somewhere, their name comes up. And you wonder, so I'll tell my wife, don't bring this person close to me, please. It's like bringing a demon where I am. Please, let me cast it out. Because it's like everything. Oh, you know, the other day when I went, I saw Pastor Spiel, it was... he was eating all the food in the house. Is it your food? Is your food lost? Is it your food? The other time when Lizzie came to my house, when I served him coffee, he was pouring all the sugar. Because of that, when you serve us coffee, he won't drink. Yeah, because of that, you sell coffee, tea or coffee. Oh, none of them. Water is life. Even the water when you bring, we sip a bit because traditionally when people serve you water, you must drink. So you will sip a bit, then we put it down. That's it. He was drinking water like he has come from the Sahara Desert. He's very tired. Hey. Sure. Learn to keep things to yourself. It makes you special. It makes you, with that you can be brought into private meetings. But if you can, I mean, you come like a pastor. The things people have to confide in me with, if I start saying it. You see, there was a time some people left the church and they started talking anyhow. And I was saying that, these people, have they forgotten what I know about them? Yeah. I was asking that, at least, I mean, imagine, if let's say you are friends, okay, God forbid, and you have a small problem, but you have told her some things, you'll be careful what you say about her, just in case. So I asked myself, have they forgotten the things, the voice notes, the video recordings that they have sent to me? Do you get it? Like, I mean, not if I start to speak, it will not be hearsay. There will be evidence and everything. So I wonder that, why? Why have they at least think about it? But out of respect for the ministry, all their information is still in my head. Although I hear them saying all kinds of things about us and about me, I just keep their thing. I think like they told me as their priest in confidentiality. Why should I go around saying that this boy, this girl, she has had 7 abortions? Why? And some of you feel that you must tell people something for them to tell you something. Anybody who has stories, usually he or she has traded a story for a story. I said, if you see somebody has stories, this, usually they've traded something for something. Because they need to pay a price for that story. So they've by all means traded, and maybe you are the one they've traded for that story. You are the one they've given up for the story that. That's why somebody said, if you and somebody break a relationship, even you are angry, respect the time that you guys were close. Respect it. You can break the relationship, but respect the things that they told you in confidentiality. Don't say now the relationship is broken, so now let me show you who he... I don't like him anymore. Case closed. You don't need to convince us. And Bishop, you have not seen the devil before. That's why I'm breaking up with Jimmy. If you want to see the devil, come and see Jimmy. Look, whether Jimmy is an angel or is a devil, if you like him, we like him for you. If you don't like him, we don't like him for you. You don't need to convince us. Sometimes you feel you have to paint him black so that now we agree with you that. And for those of you, let's say you were in the church as singles before you married, always remember that we knew you separately before we came to know you together. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Like, we knew you separately. If you take like Lizwi and Mrs. Lizwi, we knew Mrs. Lizwi before, and we knew Lizwi also before. So it's not now that Mrs. Lizwi is coming to tell us that Lizwi around 12 o'clock, he'll be slapping everybody he sees on the way. We have been with him at 12 o'clock before you came. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then Lizzie also cannot come and tell us that this girl, we knew her before. We have seen them, and we like them with the. Clap your hands for Jesus. So learn to keep things to yourself. I'm sure when the disciples moved around with Jesus, there are many things they saw, but they never wrote them. They never said them. Look, when Jesus took them to the Mount of Transfiguration, when Elijah and Moses came down, as soon as Peter saw it, Peter said, "Hey, Jesus, let's put a memorial here, one for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses, so that everybody will know." Jesus said, "No, no, no, don't tell anybody." Jesus said, "No, no, no, don't tell it. Let me show you from the Bible. I now remember that I promised you this one. Let me show you from the Bible how to increase your value." Good. Where is it? Is it the same one? Yeah. Mark chapter 9. Let's start with Mary. Mary. When the angel appeared to Mary in Luke chapter 2. When Gabriel appeared to Mary in Luke chapter 2 and said, "You are going to have a child. He'll be the son of the..." Verse 9, the Bible says, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." She kept everything in her heart. And she started to think about it. She would have just started running around telling the whole of Luke chapter 2. You will see Mary kept these things in her about 3 times. It's like she didn't go around. "Do you know what has happened? An angel has appeared to me. The angel is called Gabriel. He said, my son is going to be the son." They probably would have killed Mary even before the son was born. Yeah, she kept everything in her heart. She wasn't going around, "Let me tell everybody. The smallest thing cannot stay with you. The only mistake somebody will make is to tell. The next day we can tell from your status whatever is happening. Some of you will know what is happening in your life from your status. Have one issue with somebody, that's when we will see what we call status wars. All men are bad. Just because of one guy you were with, Walaski. Just because of Walaski. You say all men are bad. Does Walaski represent all men? President of the men's conference, Walaski. But Mary kept it in her heart. Kept it inside her heart and thought about it. Keep it. Let's deal with Peter before we come to Joseph. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 is where they did the transfiguration. In Mark chapter 9, at the transfiguration, Peter says, let's read it. Mark chapter 9. Please flip with me to Mark chapter 9. Mark 9. Yeah. Where's Mark chapter 9? Where's chapter 9 of Mark? "And he said unto them," "Verily, verily, I say unto you," is this Mark? Okay. Sounds good. "And after the 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John and leadeth them into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them." Okay, whatever it is. "And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they talked with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to them, Master, it is good that we are here." It's not good that you are here. He said, "It is good that we are here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias." "For he visit not what..." What to say? "Well, he wist not to say." I need glasses now. "But he wist not what to say, for they were so afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came from it, 'This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased.' And they saw Jesus no more. And as they came down the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen." Yeah, he told, "Don't tell it. Don't go and tell everybody we went to the mountain." Some of you, small experience that you have to tell everybody about it. Sometimes it's not yet time. Sometimes even you have a prophetic dream. You can use the prophetic dream to spoil the whole church. It's not every dream, even when you have a prophet, it's not every dream you tell everybody. I've had prophecies about people. I tell them half, I don't tell them the other half. Yeah, because that half is all they need. Sometimes I tell, do this, but you don't know what I've seen that I'm saying, do this, do that. Because if we tell you, you go and have a dream, somebody is dead. Then you can say, yesterday I had a dream about you. You were dead. Oh, even the dream can kill the person. I said, even the fear, the fright can kill the person. Yeah. I mean, Joseph. You know that story. Once upon a time, Joseph had a dream. In his dream, he saw his brothers serving him. He saw their sheep bowing to his sheep, their cows bowing to it. Then he came. When he awoke from the dream, he came. He started to tell his brothers, do you know the dream I have? The dream I had is that all of you, you are going to bow. They say, what? What nonsense is this? They didn't mind him. Then he went to have another dream. In that dream, even his parents were bowing to him. He came to tell his mother. And then his father warned him. His father rebuked him. If all Joseph's problems was all because he couldn't keep his mouth shut. All his problems, they didn't have any problem with him from before then. It was when he started to share these dreams. Then they said, this guy, if we are going to serve him, we might as well kill him. That's where all his problems came from. All of them came from that place. So learn to keep your mouth shut. Amen. Yeah. It's not everything you see you must tell everybody. Now you are coming to hit a drum. You have gone to stand on to. Now, crowd here, you see, before you have to tell somebody to tell somebody to. Now, social media, you just have to put it in the air. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it, but some of us can't keep things quiet. Spiritual things, you can't keep it quiet. Things at your workplace, and everybody knows. You see, at your workplace, they may be saying, oh yeah, what happened, what happened? They are asking because they know you are the office gossip. You always have a juicy gossip, fresh. Fresh, who's having an affair with who? Who is being with who? Who? Do you know that the lady in finance, she's having an affair with the other lady in procurement? Do you know? Do you know that this person and this person are doing? Only you at the office. Look, it is not connected to you. Just keep quiet and go your way. Learn to be quiet. I can't keep it. I have to tell my friend. I have to tell this my friend about it. What's happening? It's too hot here. Look at the way I'm sweating. Let me keep it quiet. Let me keep it quiet. Wow. So why don't you come and sit here? Maybe there are some people there who are feeling hot. It's possible. You can come and sit by Pastor Zos. Unati won't be angry. Just come and sit there. Fellow classes. John chapter 9. Thank you very much. Yes, it's very powerful. Yeah, thank you at all. Yeah. John chapter 9. How many of you remember the blind man at John chapter 9? This man started so many problems for Jesus. And as Jesus passed, he saw a man which was blind from birth. Verse 2. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin that this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Verse 3. And Jesus said, neither him nor his father, is just for the glory of God to manifest. Verse 4. I must work the works of him that while it is day, for the night cometh where no man can. Verse 5. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light. So Jesus heals this guy. Go to where he is. And he spat on the ground. He put, and then he healed the guy. Good. Next, he anointed his eye. And said, go wash wash in the pool. And then he was healed. And he started to see. Go to after he has seen. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? So they started to, is this not the blind man? Verse 9. Some said, this is he. Others said, he looks like him. So I said, and he said, I am the one. No problem. Jesus' problems have started. Though. Verse 10. Therefore, he said, they said unto him, how were thine eyes open? How come that your eyes are open? And he said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said, go and wash in the pool. And I went and washed and I received my sight. Next verse. Then they said unto him, where is he? And he said, I know not. They brought him to the Pharisees. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Next verse. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made clay and opened his eye. So Jesus healed him on the Sabbath day. Then again the Pharisees asked him, how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and do see. Hey! Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? So they started to argue. And there was division among them. So they started to argue whether Jesus is from God. And the main reason, some of them said that he doesn't keep the Sabbath. And others said that if he's not from God, how does he have this power? They say unto the blind man, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. So sometimes you think that you are helping the person you are talking about, but you are actually bringing problems. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received sight until they called his parents, the parents of him that had received his sight. So they called his parents and they asked them, saying, is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then that he now see? Next verse. And his parents answered and said, we know that he is our son, and that he was born blind. Verse 21. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. And who had opened his eyes, we know not. All we know is that he was blind. He was born blind, but now he can see. Who has opened his eyes? We don't know. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. Ask this foolish guy. He will say it for you. You have been healed on a Sabbath. You know that it's illegal. Is it some of you go so somebody helps you? It's not like even they've done something illegal, but they were not supposed to. Then you go around telling everybody. Then rather, by the time that you have spoiled his job. Now he did you a small favor. He did just, look, it was child late time, but he tried to key your thing in quickly so that your registration can go through. You are walking around campus telling everybody. And risking his job. When he thinks about it, he even regrets doing you the favor. The parents were smart. When they came, they said, look, we know he was blind. He now can see. But how he can see, that one we don't know. He's grown enough. Ask him himself. Next verse. And this verse spoke his word because they were afraid of the Jews. They knew. They knew who had made him, but they were afraid of the Jews. They did not say anything. If they say it, problem will come to Jesus. So they kept quiet. But look at this blabber mouth. I want everybody to know. I want everybody. The other day when I was sitting in Bishop's car, I saw that he was playing music in his car and the bass line was doo-doom, doo-doom, doo-doom. Next time you walk. Yeah, next time you walk. Bishop's car is very cold. Walk. This man is, if you read this whole chapter is about the argument from this man. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Why? Because he just opened his mouth to tell the people who had healed. If he had behaved like his parents, the case would have ended. Even Even when you see John the Revelator in the book of Revelations, they experience a lot of the things. The angels say, write it not. And I saw, write it not, write it not. So even in the Revelation, you see he told us some things he didn't say it. He didn't say, write it not. Write it, the angels, write it. And I saw, and he said, write it not. So that's where the story ends. But you can never keep quiet. Hey, your husband's business, all of it is in the whole world. You have gone to stand at your workplace and you have met a group of unmarried ladies. And now you are talking about everything to them. Meanwhile, if you were to leave your husband now, they'll be the first to take your husband. But you are talking... You are talking to them about the way how wicked your, how nasty your husband is. They will marry your husband at a snap. You'll be shocked. Yeah. Yeah, you'll become the ex. They'll become the next. one more for today. One more for today. Your value increases. When you can relate with outsiders. When you can relate with outsiders. In any organization, when you can relate with outsiders, your value increases. Because every organization, every group needs, always has people coming from. Most of the clients are coming from outside. Every company is doing something for people who are outside. So they always need people who can relate with people outside. Even in the church, we need people who can relate with outsiders. That's why we have airports. Some of you can't even welcome first timers. Yeah, you bring your mood from Saturday evening because you got angry, your team lost. Then you come on Sunday, you are angry with the whole world. So you are wearing the airport star's hat, but you have an angry look on your face. Any first timer that comes, that you even say hello to, the person doesn't want to come to the church again. Yeah, you can't have a pleasant smile and welcome people for people to feel, oh, what a pleasure to be in the church. No. Number two, you see people in the church, even they will not relate with outsiders. When the service ends, they relate, they right after the grace, they go and find the same person they came from the same house with to church. And then they occupy the person. That person, you are going to go home with the person. You are going to stay in church for after church meetings with the person. But new people are there. They don't know anybody in the church. You won't even bat an eye to talk to the person. It means your value just drops. It just drops. But when you can relate with some people too are unrefined. Unrefined to talk to people. If we have a guest now, we say, go and pick the person from Durban, Kinshasa International Airport. That 1 hour, even the dressing you will get there with, even the way you will dress to get there, as soon as the visitor sees you, he's already put off. Here you have come like a footballer. You are wearing tracksuit. And Pastor Lulu, what's that? Your shoe? Froggies or Crocs? You are the one going to pick the person. He thinks you are a driver. Yeah. Sometimes even the language is not refined. To say, your boss to say, oh, we are having this visitor from America, you be the one with the vista. Even some women cannot host people in their homes. Yeah, cannot host people in their homes. As a pastor, I've traveled and slept in people's houses. Different people. You see, hosts differ from host. If you go, you have a good host, you feel comfortable. When you are there, you don't feel afraid, you feel comfortable, you have what you want. I mean, and it's not about money. It's about the person's mannerisms. And even the fact that you are welcome in the home. One day I went to a house to have a meeting. As soon as I entered the room, I said, let's go and have the meeting outside. Yeah, as soon as there was a problem I was going to, so when I got there, I couldn't even breathe. And how long can you hold your breath? I couldn't even breathe. Yeah, I wasn't trying to die. When I got there, I said, yo, I said, let's have the meeting outside. I said, look, let's go outside. Please, 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 please. Such a home, you can't send a visitor there. Couch smelling of wee-wee. Everything is smelling, I'm telling you. Yeah. Look, wee-wee, and it's not this year wee-wee. Like last year wee-wee. No, it's not smelling 2024. It's smelling 2022 wee-wee. With outsiders. In the church, we need people who have learned diplomacy. How to be diplomatic with people, how to be pleasant to people, to relate with people. Yeah, especially, you see, when it's just us. If you make a mistake, we'll help you. But when we have visitors, we need our best foot forward. Sometimes even your dressing, how modest your dressing. That's what I told the other time. Some of you show too much of your breast. Your breast is everywhere. We don't have to look for it. It's on your forehead. You won't dress mood. Meanwhile, you are somebody's wife. You are not a teenager moving around. You are somebody's wife. I happen to spend the night with some Zimbabwean couple. Look, when they give you food, when they are bringing, they kneel down. I say, wow, I've never seen such a thing before. When they make the food, they bring water in a pot for you to wash your hands. Meanwhile, you are going to use fork and knife. Bring water. The towel is lying here. The napkin is here. Then they bring you. Then you wash it. And then they go down like that. Wash you and finish you, clean you. When you are there, you feel, wow. You are there proud like a peacock. The water, go and wash your hand. I slept somewhere. The room was cold like a mortuary. Look, never been that cold before. Cold. Cold. The house, old house, cold. Slim blanket. Hey. Look, I woke up at dawn and I knock on my host door. I said, I think I have to leave. Yeah. I woke up at dawn. I said, no, I can't take it anymore. Because look, I'll sleep for a long time. When I check the time, 7 minutes. Look, I've been sleeping for days, so 7 minutes. No. Like I've curled into what we call the fetal position. How you were in your mother's womb. Still, Charlie, I woke up, I went to knock the door. I said, oh, something has come up. I need to leave. Yes, something has come up. I'm cold. I have to leave. 4 a.m., I started my car, tilap, zoom, and I hit the road. I drove for about 1 hour before the car could even, inside the heater in the car could make the car warm. Yeah. I'm telling you. Some people are very poor hosts. Learn it. It adds value to you. Whether you are hosting somebody, whether you are entertaining somebody for a short time, whether you have to relate with an announcer, it's always, if the company can send you to meet their guests, we are their clients, your value increases. You just shoot up. But you won't learn how to speak English well. Look, you can speak Zulu all you can, or you can speak Xhosa all you can, but English will be English. The world speaks English. I'm telling you. Go and ask Italy why they are stuck left behind. Everybody is getting a language. They alone, they say they are speaking there. Do you know that it's only in their country that they speak that language? When you go there, they look so primitive among the Western world. They look like they are so far behind. Because they won't embrace a modern language. So you can say all you can say, because we are proud Zulus. Yeah, we are all proud Zulus. Don't I look like Shaka Zulu? Proud Zulu. But learn English. It's an international language. It's an international language. Learn it. Learn how to pronounce words well. Learn, know that when you speak, it's like by the time you finish your speech, we thought we understood by the middle, but somewhere getting to the end, we are confused what you were trying to say. It's like we are lost. We have to say, pardon? What? Hey. Learn it so that you are, it's like you are refined. Me, I was sitting in my house. Prophet came to teach me how to drink tea. Yeah, take the spoon like this, stir it like, don't stir, bing, 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 like you are ringing a bell. Stir it, gentle. When you finish, take it out, put it on the side. Then take the thing. Don't do, no. So how do I know whether it's hot or it's cold? There's a way. When you come to my office, I'll teach you. Yeah, there's a way to know whether it's ready for your tongue. Because you can't put it in your mouth and spit it out. If you put it, it's too hot. It can't go in, you have to bring it out. So you never have to put it when it's too hot. But there's a way. Sometimes when you serve it, you see I pick it up, then I put it back down. I've done that test. I realized my tongue is not ready. Then I put it back down. Yeah. But now you do the same thing when you eat spaghetti. Be refined a bit. Learn a few things. Add some quality. It makes you... You see, when important people come, we can say, you come, because you represent us well. But you won't learn any quality every day. You are a girl. Every day you want to dress like a boy. I mean, like a... It's not when it's cold, though. It's like you just want to look like a boy. Oh, we have visitors. We can't bring a boy-looking girl or a girl-looking boy. It brings confusion. Anyway, for political reasons, I can't say the rest of the things. But add quality. Become more refined. Even learn protocol. Yeah, learn protocol. Who comes first? Who comes second? What you must do first? What you must do second? Learn all these things. Your bosses are watching. That's when they say, you, go and meet this important person. You, come here in this important... Because when you come, you know who... Even sometimes you are at a meeting, even these Zoom meetings, we say, if you want to say something, raise your hand. There's a way to press the thing for... you see the chairman is talking, and then you also start talking. But I don't think that... Number next one. Your value increases when you save the company money. I do this one 5 minutes and we round up. Your value increases in any organization you are in when you can save the company money. When you can save the company or the organization money. In every organization, money plays an important role, either in profit or advancing the work. Let's say as a church, we don't make profit, but we need money to advance the work. So anybody who saves us money becomes important to us. At your organization, they need to make profit. Anybody who saves them money increases their turnover. You become important. Some of us, when we get a chance to spend money on behalf of the organization, that is now when you are, it's like, look, extravagance. Extravagance. Yeah. Instead of looking for the most affordable, you say, oh, I'm not the one paying. Let's pay a high bill. Even things you can do yourself, you get somebody to do because it's not your money. It's not your money. Yeah. When you are on your own, you eat once a day. But when you are on company time, breakfast, lunch, supper, and then in between snacks. Snacks. Because it's not your money. And sometimes people bring it to the church. You ask them to do something for the church, they go and bring a bill. When you see the bill, you become afraid. Why? Because it's church money. It's not their money. But remember, the money you ask is somebody's tithe. It's somebody's hard-earned cash that they've paid tithe on. Yeah, sometimes we do things in church. That's why at the end, you see that you only work with those who have a good mind about the organization. Yeah, sometimes we do things. You see people will be using their connects. I was doing some project with someone. So these people, they owe me this favor. So maybe I'll cash in on the favor with this project. So instead of them taking 1,000 because they owe me a favor, they will take 400 or 600. It's like their favor. It's not the church's favor. Their favor that they have with the people, then they will cash in for the church to save some money. But you, hey, pastor, you say what? You say we need to fix the thing. I'm coming. Then they go and bring a long something. We have to pay this person. We have to say, you see, at the end, the project cannot be done. The project cannot be done. We do electrical things here. People from the church, they will rise up and say, oh, that's what this one there I can do. Instead of calling somebody, paying the person, call out, I can do it. I'll force and do it. Then they do. Some even learn things to do it so that the church can save some money. Immediately, well, anytime you see that, you see the person's value is going up. You may be speaking in tongues more than the person. It doesn't change anything. So, but the church is a spiritual church. We need money to advance the church. Anybody who saves us money increases in value in our eyes. Yeah. People learn things, how to do things by themselves, so that as a church, we don't spend money to get it done. Yeah, to save us money. So, oh, no, let me go and be there. Let me go and bargain with the person. Let me go. Sometimes people can bargain and bargain and bargain. You see, even the bargaining is becoming a fight. Hey, it is becoming a fight. Just to save 200 rands or 100 rands. You don't even care. It's like, oh, please, they say it's 1,200. Yeah. Sometimes we'll even be sitting there. Then you bring us the bill. Look, sometimes they don't even give us a chance to see their things, whether we can pay or we cannot pay. I was pastoring a church one day. Then the drummer of the church, he went to see drums, a set of drums, 44,000. He said, it is on special. So he called me and said, oh, some drums are on special. I said, okay. I mean, as I'm there, we have drums. We are playing our drums. So the drums are on special. It's half price. I said, okay. The next, by the time I came to church that evening, the drums were sitting in the church. So I said, who bought us these nice drums? So the drums that I was telling you about, I said, oh, really? You bought drums for the church? Glory be to God. Not knowing in his mind, he's buying the drums for the church to pay him. I remember the price, 44,000. I said, So later when I heard it, I went to the drummer. I said, what type of... He said, oh, do you remember the other time when we were chatting and you were saying that, we should get a good drum and a better drum, when I was telling that the drums, this one doesn't work. And always something doesn't work, but we manage it like that. So do you remember? I said, oh, I remember that conversation, but it doesn't mean that I have other important things. At that time, we were paying for this church building. We were paying for this very church building. And all our coins were important to us. The guy said, we owe him 44,000. Hey! But 44,000 drums, what difference do they make? How do they play? How
do they play? I'm telling you, true. I mean, this is based on a true story. In fact, it's not based on, it's a true story. Huh. So the drums were, it became even a confusion. Now, even when I can, I don't ask that they should play the drum because I don't know whether we will return the drums or. Yeah. But oh, because it's the church. I said, have you seen us buy none of our instruments cost that much, okay? No, none of our instruments cost that much. Even our laptops don't cost that much. Yeah, sometimes we need to do something. People will bring their own equipment to get it done. They have one they use. So let's see, after the church, how long do we use? I mean, how long do we have church? Twice a week, 2 hours on Sunday, 2 hours on Wednesday. So use my thing a bit. One day when we have the money, we'll buy our own things. But it doesn't mean we can't do it because we have him. But some say, they buy it. Dolly, dolly. Do you understand dolly, dolly? When Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, what he was saying was, dolly, dolly, I'm telling you. Yeah. And Bishop, but as for me, I'm not like that. Those days we used to use airtime to make calls. When you get somebody's phone and you are talking on it, when you use your airtime to call somebody, hello, yes, thank you, God, goodbye, cake is gone. But when you take, I'm coming to tell that story. When you take somebody else's phone, when the person picks, hello, guess who this is?
No.
Rosemary, no. Guess again. Angela, no. Guess again. Hey! For about 5 minutes, you are doing guess again, guess again. Guess what? Again. Guess again, guess again. Because it's not your airtime. That's how we are. That's why when you go to work, you see you use, when you are making tea at work, you can pour the Milo, the Milo, the hot chocolate. It's almost like you are making a chocolate bar. Meanwhile, you are making a drink. You put the thing in it like that. Then you pour all the milk. Then you see that, like, look, the milk is the hot water. No water.
No water.
Just milk and then the hot chocolate. Meanwhile, when you come home, you don't even put, you just put the tea bag like that and you'll be drinking it like that. When you use the tea bag, you put it in a plastic and put it aside. Then later you reuse it. You say there's more tea inside. One tea bag, you use it about 4 times. Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you. But when you get to the office, you just be pouring the things. Even you put some will pour on the table. Oh, you don't care. Your house, even one drop of sugar doesn't fall as you collect all from the table. Folks, my time is up. Next week we'll continue. Stand to your feet. Let's share a word of prayer. Lift your hands and just talk to God. I don't know what you have heard tonight. Maybe tonight for you is about keeping secrets. Talk to God right now about it. Maybe for you, it's about learning to save the organization money.
Yes, Jesus.
Save your organization money.
Help me, Lord.
Pray about it.
Help
right
me.
Now. Say, help Lord, speak me. To me.
Speak
talk to me. Help
Jesus.
Me to increase
help
my
me.
Value
to
in these
my
areas.
Value, oh Lord, in the mind
in the name of Jesus. Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Help me to increase my
in the name
Lord.
Of Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me, O God. 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 In the name of
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Help me, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. 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 Make our price higher than rubies, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, O God. Thank you, God. Lift your hands, let us pray. Father, thank you for every hand lifted up. We pray, Lord Jesus, help us. Help us add value to ourselves in the church, at our school, at our workplace, in our families. Help us to be people who save money. Help the organization, help the home to save money, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We give you praise. We give you that our value will shoot up, that our value will increase, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We bless you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of God.
Thank you for joining us. We believe you have been blessed by this life-transforming message by Bishop Daniel Harley. For more information, contact us at 204 Peter Kirchhoff Street, Pietermaritzburg, or call 083-773-1605. God richly bless you.